will be in Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 34 is our text. Title of the sermon today, Feeding the 5,000. So let's give our attention to reading God's word found in Mark 6, starting with verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was not far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. May the Lord add to us the blessing of hearing and believing his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come beseeching for your blessing to be upon us, as your word has been read and as it will be preached. Lord, may we see the loveliness of Christ, the commitment of our Savior, the compassion of our great Lord. May we learn from him. So instruct us by your Spirit, we pray, in his glorious name. Amen. So although we have here the Lord Jesus, that great teacher of the faith, who does great works, great miracles. We see here the great compassion of our Lord and our Savior. As he has a priority here to care for people, to give of himself, to be faithful as that Savior and as that Lord. And so there's much to learn anytime we read of the Savior, or anytime we read in other parts of the Scripture of the Lord and of his works. And so our first point here today, giving refreshing substance. We find that the Lord, you know, has been sending out, he has sent out his 12 apostles, and he sent them out 2 by 2. And they did many wonderful works. They were preaching the gospel. They were declaring the way of salvation. And they were also given a special gift of the Holy Spirit to do works of a miraculous nature, to heal people, to even cast out demons, as Jesus had been doing through his ministry. And then as we are reading in verse 30 and 31 of our text, and they're coming back and they're talking about, you know, what they did and what they behold and how the people responded to the word of God. Great praise. And the Lord knew they were working hard. We don't have the time period of how long they were out preaching and healing. But it was a very concentrated time of ministry. And so in verse 31, you know, he says to the 12, come aside. You know, let's withdraw. You need to have time of rest to gain your strength. And you need to rest a while. And so the Lord is concerned about his servants, even the apostles. And we err when we think the apostles were like supermen. Like they just had energy that was beyond anything that you and I could ever imagine. But no, they were men. They were frail men. They would have ailments. They would have aches and pains. They needed food and needed sleep, as we all do. And so Jesus knows that. The Lord doesn't want his servants, his people, his disciples, his believers, and doing ministry work to be spent. It's one thing to lay your life on the line, to take risk, but he doesn't want you to work yourself into the grave unnecessarily. He wants you to work hard and to the glory of God. But he wants you to have rest, sleep each night, food each day, unless you have a special season of prayer and fasting. Even that needs to come to an end. And so the Lord is showing his compassion upon his frontline soldiers, if you want to refer to them as that, the apostles. He wants to give them refreshing. And so it's kind of ironic is what we read in this passage. In verse 33, but the multitude saw them departing, you know, the apostles going with Jesus. And they got into a boat. And this is usually Jesus, you know, kind of exit was get in the boat and cross this big lake and to go to their town. But, you know, if you've ever been on the edge of a big lake, you can see for a long distance. You can see what direction people are going. And it says many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. His reputation was well known. His healings were amazing, and people gained relief from years of ailment. And so they wanted to be near him. And in fact, they figured out where he was going with the trajectory of the boat. And they arrived before Jesus and the apostles got there. And they were waiting. So imagine there's 5,000 people. Actually, there's more. So their gospel says 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. So you can think of 10, 12,000, you know, perhaps more. Just mass people just waiting for Jesus as the boat arrives at the shore. Where's the rest? Where's that time of rest, of refreshing? Well, someone had to do the rowing, unless it was a sailboat. Maybe they did get a little bit of rest. But we do see that Jesus really takes on the forefront of the ministry in this instance. You know, the apostles will be holding baskets and passing around baskets, which is not too hard to do. But Jesus, you know, has compassion. As it says in verse 34, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion because he saw the need of the people. He saw the hunger in their eyes. Not just a physical hunger, but they want to be healed. They want to be relieved of the burden of sickness. And why do we have sickness in the world? It's because of sin. Sin is the great burden. There's other burdens that come as a result of sin, but all burdens, all afflictions, all pains ultimately go back to sin. And so Jesus has compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. And these are like wandering sheep. They do not have direction. They don't have guidance. They don't have the protection of a shepherd. And they need direction to where they could feed. And so he teaches them. He began to teach them many things. And so Jesus, in this instance, he's teaching the gospel. He's teaching the ways of God. He's teaching the commandments. He's teaching of the priority of repentance to enter the kingdom of God. He's teaching the whole counsel of God. He is healing. And also he will be feeding, physically feeding this mass of people through a miraculous multiplying of bread and fish. And it's maybe hard for us to imagine, but just probably just the baskets being passed, and as people put their hands in, they're going to pull out a handful of fish and a handful of bread. And that bread never diminishes, nor does the fish. And it feeds thousands upon thousands because he is the Lord. He is the mighty Lord. And he's showing that he's concerned about the whole person. Not just, he doesn't look at people as souls, package in a body. That's what the Greeks did. You know, the body is evil. You know, physical is evil. No, God created the physical. God created your body. Your body is not evil. It's our heart that is evil because of our sin nature. He redeems. He cares for the body and he cares for the soul. He doesn't pit one against the other. He doesn't care for one part of you and neglect the other. He cares for every aspect of you. And so when the day is far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "Look where we're at. There's nothing around. Send these people away." Now, why are they saying send them away? Are they concerned about these people? Now, there's a little debate here. Are they concerned about the people? It's late. Send them away so they can find something to eat. Or is it, you need to send them away because, you know, it's late for us. It's time for them to go. I don't think we should necessarily question the motivation, but another gospel talks about Jesus asked Philip. He says, "Well, give them something to eat." And he says this to test them. Philip is someone who said, you know, if we give them, if we had like 200 denarii, can we buy enough bread to feed this large group of people? Philip's saying, "How can we? I can't. We can't. It's impossible." And sometimes this is what we need to understand. It is impossible for me to relieve this situation. It is impossible for me to pay all these bills this week. It's impossible to have enough money to go to college. It's impossible for me to heal myself of this disease that no one else seems to know how to heal as well. It's impossible for you to gain forgiveness of your sins on your own. Everything is pretty much impossible left to you. Now, you might be able to walk out of this building in a few hours by your own strength, and you think, "Well, I have strength to do this." You have strength, but the strength comes from the Lord. Any moment of the day. And so Jesus is testing. Give. They're saying, "How?" And he says, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And then they find out, you know, there's a boy there with five loaves, probably small, and two fish. You know, it's like, this isn't going to go far. But the Lord is caring and is faithful. He will multiply, and he does multiply, as only he can, to feed this great mass of people. Now it's interesting, in verse 39, he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. And they sat down in ranks and in hundreds and in fifties. And this is a strange detail. Well, why talk about where they sat? Big deal. And it kind of seems like, well, they're in a desert. Why is there green grass? Well, the desert, and that desert over there, there are patches of green grass. They're hard to find. You have to search it out. But remember, the narrative says Jesus saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so I think this little detail the Holy Spirit puts in here of they sat on grass, and it's easy to forget about it, but it kind of sticks in your minds, you know, why the grass? I think somebody come to that door here. I think it's a reminder for us to think upon the most well-known Psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll not want. I will not lack. He takes me, right? He leads me to green pastures. For sheep, the green pastures is mealtime. And so that great Psalm, which we all should know by heart, is a little reminder here. The Lord is the good shepherd. We don't have to, you know, wait to John 10 to find that out. We can find that out right here. He is acting as a shepherd. And the people are his sheep. And then we really should see the teaching priority in his compassion. That the Lord is putting a priority upon those he's ministering to, but he's not simply feeding because they're hungry. He's teaching. He's feeding and he is teaching. But the base of all this, whether it be the feeding of the 5,000 or the teaching of these people, when they're tired, Jesus gets tired too. He gets exhausted. And the healing, and you hear people coming to you, they're crying, there are tears. Look how my son is afflicted. Look how this demon is treating my daughter. I'm hurting. And Jesus has compassion in everything he does. Feeding, healing, and teaching. Teaching, healing, and feeding. Everything is rooted in his compassion. So remember when Jesus, you know, after the Last Supper, he institutes the Lord's Supper. And then he's washing the apostles' feet. And he's showing them an example of humility. Do not think you're going to be great and powerful. You got to be lowly like me, a servant. And this is coming from the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. So there's a priority in that compassion to these people. He's concerned about them. He loves them. And so we should not look at people as a statistic. I had the other week fill out the statistics for our church for last year. You know, how many members do we have? How many have left? And how many came, you know, how many were deceased, and how many were baptized? What's the average attendance? You know, I have to tell you the truth, I kind of guess at the average attendance. I don't keep that number. We get so caught up. A lot of times ministers, when they meet another minister, you know, kind of the early question is like, how many people do you have in your church? Let me determine what I'm going to think about you, or determine if you're blessed by the Lord. The Lord, again and again, shows his compassion. his faithfulness, giving of himself to the people and the ministry. And this is an example for you to follow. Not that you had to leave your home and wander for 3.5 years across this country ministering. I mean, if you're at a place you can do that with and being sent out by the church, and don't do it alone. Remember, Jesus, you know, sent them out by twos and threes. He wants you to minister with compassion. Not to, you know, a lot of times people today talk about being beaten over the head with certain Bible verses or clobber verses, you know, just a strange term. You know, when we share the word, there's truth that goes forth, and it does point out sin. But to share the gospel, you have to bring in the grace and the mercy of God and the inclination of the Lord to bestow that forgiveness. The abundant inclination of the Lord to bestow that forgiveness, because he is a compassionate God. So if you are witnessing to somebody and you don't bring in the truth of God's compassion, or even the blessing of obedience to a commandment that is reserved by God for those who follow his ways, then you really haven't presented him rightly, have you? And so this is kind of the beauty when you read scripture. You have God in his pure revelation. You know, sometimes we don't understand. That's another issue. But here we see the full compassion of the Lord and his care for people and his teaching of them. There's no social gospel here. But there's a gospel that has fruit and material things, that does care for the body without neglecting the soul at the same time. And so verse 42, so they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fish. They had all these leftovers. And this is emphasized. Well, no, why the leftovers? Why didn't you just say that they ate and that's that? Well, there's leftovers to underscore God's grace. There's abundance of grace. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. When Christ died on the cross for your sins, you don't know how many sins you've committed or will commit, right? And as you, hopefully, you've asked this question several times, if you're a believer, can he really forgive me more than he already has? For I have sinned greatly and frequently. And yes, he doesn't encourage you to sin further. We should be convicted in our heart when we do sin, because we have caused pain and suffering for the Savior for every sin that we commit. So any sin that we knowingly commit going forward, it's almost like salt in the wound. But he has paid for it all, because he is a compassionate God, a compassionate Savior and Lord, and a caring Lord for you. It's interesting that the people are running to Jesus. They're seeking ministry. Now, in the weeks ahead, the Lord Jesus will point out some things about this. Because Jesus, we'll talk about, in fact, let's go there. Stay in Mark 6, verse 53 and 54. Hold on there. I think I'm thinking of a different gospel. Bear with me. It might be, this account is given also in John's gospel. As well, in all four Gospels, and that kind of underscores the importance of this passage for us. Let me just share what my thought was. I might have not the exact reference here, but Jesus will talk later, and he'll address his apostles how their heart is hardened. I mean, they're amazed by this. But he'll say their heart was hardened. And, you know, reading this, like, doesn't seem hardened at all here. But the Lord knows the heart far better than we. Now, it's interesting, two chapters from Mark 6, you get Mark 8, and then there's the feeding of the 4,000. And the same thing kind of replays. And you think, how could they forget the feeding of the 5,000? And then the Lord's ability to do that, and now you got a small number, 4,000. And they're saying, how can we feed these people? And you think, you know, we as readers are very critical and say, well, they are slow. They really have no really faith in the Lord. There is a hardness there. They really didn't comprehend fully. But when you read about believers who may ask seems like stupid questions or have not learned the lesson, we really have to think hard, well, isn't that like me? So the Lord has provided and provided when I was really sick in the hospital, when I was maybe near death 20, 30 years ago, and yet I have this potential serious illness. Can the Lord, will the Lord heal? Will he be inclined to heal? Does he want to heal? We can doubt, we can forget his works of the past. So, brothers and sisters, when we read these Psalms, you notice there's a lot of common themes in the Psalms that are to be in your prayers, that we are to think upon his mighty works, of his faithfulness, of his provision, of his care. And you have to speak of them one to another and to yourself, because we forget, we forget, we forget. Now, I prayed in the pastoral prayer about the Lord's Day, this holy day, day of worship. In the commandment, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And those words are given because our inclination is to forget that this is a special day. We forget to wake up and think, this is the Lord's Day. I will be going to church and to worship him. I'm going to get ready. I want to be there on time. I want to be attentive. I want to be focused on God's worship and to minister in fellowship with others. But we need to remember all these things. And so, yes, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Then he'll feed the 4,000. And it's the same truth being reiterated, because you and I need these important reminders for us in our walk of faith. And so we have here the learning the Lord's faithfulness to provide always. This is important. You remember in the beginning of chapter 6, as Jesus is getting his 12 ready to to go out and to teach, he says, he commanded them in verse 8 to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. You know, go. Don't even pack any food. Just go. Because the Lord will provide. The Lord will care. Now, in other places, he does, you know, talk about being prepared. And so, whether you're prepared, you know, if you're on a journey with food, or if you're going forth relying upon hospitality of other Christians, you're looking to the Lord for his provision and his faithfulness to provide for you. But we must learn again and again, when I pray to the Lord, I pray with faith. Do not pray for some need, especially forgiveness of some sin that is besetting you, and then walk away and say, well, this is just the way it'll be. Do not forget God when you finish your prayer. Usually we pray rightly. Usually we pray with right words, right doctrine. But it's our mind when we walk away from prayer. Is that what we need to be watchful about? Let's be consistent. Let's carry that hope. Let's look and call upon the Lord for help. And it's interesting, these people are not crying out saying, I'm hungry. No one was expecting this miracle. No, it didn't enter anyone's mind that, you know, this great prophet or even the Christ could multiply food. But just remember back in the garden when God had finished creating everything, and man, Adam and Eve are placed in the garden. God had made every form of food in the garden. Every form. And brothers and sisters, it's pretty amazing. It's, you really go to a farmer's market or, you know, your favorite store, or, you know, you could go to 3 or 4 different stores and find different things at times. It doesn't cover all the food that is in the world. It doesn't, all the types of fruit are not in your favorite store, or all the types of vegetables, or even all the types of meat. The Lord provides in such abundant ways. It's interesting, as I was growing up, there was still talk about famines in Africa. But you don't read about any famines in Asia. And famines are really only caused by severe drought or war, usually war. And there's 7 billion people. It's the Lord who's feeding all those 7 billion people. Now, sadly, we're very independent. We think these grains and this manufacturing of genetic seeds and this, or pesticides, you know, that has been our solution. But it's the Lord who's been the solution. But although man might think we're independent from God and our food supply, or be independent from God and our health needs, and we got modern medicine, and we know the frailty there and limitations there, but sometimes we forget. One thing is a constant reminder, there's one Savior. There's only one man who paid for sins. There's only one Lord who is sovereign over all and controls your life. Not that you're a puppet, but you are in His hand. And if you have faith, you see it as a hand of love, hand of care, the hand of the good shepherd. Sadly, those who despise the Lord and think evil of His word look upon Him as a wolf, one who's seeking to cause trouble. But that is not the Lord of the Scripture. And so we have 5,000. As I mentioned before, there were women and there were children. The 5,000 relates specifically to the men that were fed. And so even when Jesus was probably weary, He still ministered because He saw that need and He was moved with compassion. Now think about it. Why did Jesus minister for 3.5 years? 3.5 years comes to 42 months. Seems kind of shorter when you think in months. 42 months. Maybe one reason is, although He is a man. Remember, it's not a Superman, He's a man. That if He probably ministered longer, His health would break down. Because of how much He did, how much He gave of Himself again and again and again. And of course, He had to fulfill all things in that 3.5 years of ministry. But He was caring for His apostles, caring for His followers, and even some who did not believe. And they might have been of the majority of this 5,000. Because John's gospel records after Jesus leaves and they follow Him again, He rebukes the people. You follow Me because of the miracles. You're following Me because of something you get. Yes, healing is important. You follow Me because of the bread. Your bellies are full. This is why you are seeking Me. In fact, he has to withdraw himself because they are going to seek to make him a king. But a king like David or Solomon or even like Saul. We just want that king that give us a lot of bread and a lot of prosperity in our nation. And Jesus had to emphasize, you need to seek the bread of life. And so this is our reminder. We need to seek the bread of life. The bread that has come down from heaven. And it's not manna. It's Christ. Manna was a picture of Christ. Christ coming down to bless Israel. And all Israel were to feed upon him. And so we have a compassionate God. We read of him in the scriptures. But what do you do with him? Do you do more than think upon him? That's the start. Do you call upon him? Do you find in him refuge for your sin and your troubles? Do you exercise faith and recognize him as Lord as you pray to him? Do you have confidence in his love and his goodness towards you? He is set forth as that complete and full Savior for the world, for you, if you believe on him. And if you struggle to believe, as apostles were struggling, like, how can we feed these people? Seems impossible. You need to pray for the gift of faith. Faith is a gift. It's not like my mom and my dad have faith, therefore I must have faith. No. Faith is a gift to each individual who seeks it. And so Christ is presented before us as that compassionate good shepherd. He is there for the blessing. But let us be faithful to seek that blessing in all things, especially for the good of our soul as well as the good of our body. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless your people here. That you would remind us of the abundance of your grace and your mercy and your love and your faithfulness to give of yourselves and of yourself. And Lord, indeed, you have given already on the cross to be that substitute for our sin and our iniquity. You have given us restoration of life. And so, Father, I pray that you would bless and minister to any who are in doubt, any who do not fully comprehend their utter desperate need for Christ. Lord, speak to them in only the way you can, through your word and by the power of your spirit. And Lord, may we follow the example of our great and faithful and powerful Savior, who is compassionate, who is moved with compassion. May we be directed by compassion in all aspects of ministry we do in your name. May we be reminded of your compassion towards us and follow that example in ministering to others. And bring, whether it be mercy ministry or whether the direct word and gospel ministry, Lord, all things, may we speak of your mighty works and of your faithfulness, even in this account before us. And Lord, may you receive the glory and the praise, and may the advancement of the gospel go forth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.